One, we show the mercy and the compassion of Islam. What you hear from others are fighting. And there is in Islam a concept of military. But if you take out all the love, all the compassion, all the mercy and the forgiveness, you don't have that faith anymore. So we are an example that we believe of the real faith. Our name is Islamic Relief, and we believe that we practice these Islamic values. Now, when young men come and all they see are the men with guns talking about Islam, and they don't see men and women of love and compassion, they're going to model their behavior on the people who are talking about only violence. So we want to practice model behavior. Second thing is, we want to work with them and understand their faith. And what we are doing is trying to address some of their concerns and showing that, look, these Christian guys aren't trying to convert you in the work that we're doing. These secular guys aren't trying to get you on some kind of agenda that you think is against you.
So it's bringing the message to the people. It's like getting advice from a friend. It's easier to take than getting advice from a stranger.
That's really important. And it's a lot of good that these international organizations are doing. So we are showing that we are an example of how you can work with international aid agencies to make the world a better place. And we're changing the narrative because they think that the only people that like them are those that are radical. Many of them have been brainwashed in their understanding. They don't understand the true Islam. And with us, they see us practicing the true Islam.
What particular strengths do religious organizations have that secular ones don't? And are there also limits to the things that religious NGOs can do because of the fact that they are religious?
Yes and yes. Where they shine is, one, is they have a trust that other organizations may not be able to have, because they're not just relief and development agencies. People trust in their faith, and therefore they believe that they are working on behalf of a higher power. So they have that trust, which secular organizations may be difficult to have. Second, many of these people of faith are willing to go to places where other agencies may not be willing to go, because they may be killed. And they have a concept that if they die, then they go to paradise. So they may go to places where others don't want to go. The other thing is that often when you go to an area and you find a house of worship and they find out you're from that faith, they can become false multipliers. So you can get many people from that area to help you. Now, where the limits are, you need to make sure that you're inclusive and you don't just want people from your house of worship working with you. You also want people from the other houses of worship. You also want to help people who don't believe in any faith. Your job isn't to help your faith, it's to help all of humanity. The other limits is that in the same way some people really trust you because you're from their faith, some people may really hate you. The other thing is you have to be careful that you separate your relief development work from proselytizing. The main concern people have about faith-based organizations, and we have to acknowledge that, yes, sometimes that happens, but let's not ignore all the good that faith-based organizations can do.
What are the advantages of having a strong faith in times of trouble, or what protection kind of give, like the title of this event mentions home. Is that something that faith can bring refugees who have often lost everything?
That's one of the biggest advantages of faith-based organizations. You see, I can give you food, I can give you medicine, but often what refugees really want is hope, love. And people of faith, again, have their advantages and their disadvantages, but one of the advantages is that we can console people and give emotional counseling. And Islamic Relief USA, we've been doing that here in America. We also sent some of our volunteers here to Lesbos, Greece, to help the Syrian refugees that came. And we had a former Iraqi refugee, a former Afghan refugee. These are women in their 40s and their 50s. And the most important thing they did with the other refugees is give them hugs. Give them hugs, give them a smile, give them hope. They lost everything. They came to this great country. And they not only were able to flourish in this country, but they wanted to pay it forward and go back and help other refugees. Hope, hope, hope is the most important. People cling to their faith more than children cling to their blankets when they are in times of stress. It's extremely important, and sometimes it's the difference between life and death.
Is there anything you think is really important to note?
I wanted to mention the importance of different faith-based organizations working together from different faiths. This is where we really change the narrative of the extremists on both sides. The way that we combat against extremism done by or against Muslims because we're also the victims. Most of the victims of Daesh that you mentioned are actually Muslims. We don't hear about that much because the Eiffel Tower lights up normally when people in Christian countries get killed, but not with the majority. So I'd just like to remind everyone, people of faith can be the solution when they work together. We can go to some places where our Christian and secular friends cannot go. In the same way, they can go to some places where we can't go. So what we want to do is we want to leverage our cultural sensitivity, our understanding of the faith, and leverage that with our friends of other faith or no faith so we can work together to help everybody.